Today's Shirmar Fuhr Shlima 4, Ariel David Ben Malka, Moshe Chaim Ben Yehudis, Rachel Bela Bas Gittel, Shoshana Bas Sima, and it's a chus for Achinu B'nai Yisrael. So, I found two options for halacha day discussions in, where are we, Perek Chaf Ches. One of them is the mitzvah of davening Maariv, or the idea of davening Maariv, and the source of Maariv, and the source that Maariv is a rishus, a tefillah rishus, is found in this perek. But I decided not to do that, and rather cover the very last words of this perek, which say as follows. The parak concludes with Kol Asher, with Yaakov's offering to Hashem, that what we discussed yesterday, this is the deal, or this is the vow, that everything will work out okay, and he concludes with the words, Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Lach, that anything that you give me, I will tithe for you. So there is an interesting halacha that is deduced from those words, and we'll say it now. Well, this is based on a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. So the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos says, "Beusha hiskinu," that in Usha, the town of Usha, they made the following takana: "Hamevazveiz al yevazveiz yoser michomish." That one who lavishes money on charity should not lavish more than a fifth of it. That one should not give more than a fifth of their money away, at least in the context of the Gemara. Well, sure, the Gemara doesn't say anything about charity. The Gemara just says you shouldn't give more than a fifth of your money away. Sounds like for some sort of dvar mitzvah, some kind of good thing, which the context of the Gemara seems to tell you that it's at least for sure talking about charity. So the discussion today is, what is that halacha of not giving away more than a fifth? Where does it apply to? Where does it, what is the source for it, as we'll get to in a moment? And what we're not going to cover is exactly what does that mean, a fifth? A fifth of what? A fifth of assets? A fifth of earnings? A fifth of earnings after your expenses are taken away? Right? What the details of that, that's beyond the amount of time that we had for this morning. But what in the world does that have to do with our Parsha? So again, I just read you from Rabbi Eli that in Usha they made the establishment, you're not allowed to spend more than a fifth. Tanya Nami Hachi, also we have another Braisa, Hamavazviz Ayivazviz Yosem Yechomish, you shouldn't spend more than a fifth on it. Why? Shamid Starif Labrios, because if you spend more than a fifth of your money, you're going to become dependent on people yourself. And it happened once that someone who sought to lavish more than a fifth of his wealth, and his colleagues didn't allow him to do so. One who was that is Rabbi Yeshaviv, or some say Rabbi Yeshaviv was the one who wanted to spend more than a fifth, and his colleague wouldn't allow him, and who was his colleague? Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara tells a story of somebody who wanted to do it, and whoever his colleague was, wouldn't allow him to do it. So you see from there, you're not allowed to spend more than a fifth. It doesn't really prove that if you spend more than a fifth, you're going to have a problem. So there is a story that is quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that this happened during the time of the Vilna Gaon, a formerly wealthy individual came to the Vilna Gaon and told him that I have no longer been able to maintain my wealth. To which the Vilna Gaon told him, you know why? It's because you gave away more than a fifth of your money to tzedakah. And that's why you're now in need of charity from other people. So that story not only seems to indicate that, and both of these stories, the truth is, doesn't just indicate that it's advice, it sounds like it's actually a prohibition. So whether this is actually advice or whether it's prohibition, so that's something that hopefully we will cover shortly. But I just want to continue the Gemara and figure out why in the world we're talking about this in Chumash class. So Amar Rav Nachman, the Tema Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Nachman, and then some say it's Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, they said, Mikra, where is the basis for this law? What is the textual source? So, V'chol Asher Titen Li, Aser Asrenu Lach, based on our pasuk, that all you will give to me, Aser, I will give off my ser to you. I will tithe for you. So the double language of tithing is usually a tenth, double tithing is a fifth. So from here we see you're not allowed to do more than a fifth. Bahalo dummy sura basmal sura kama. The Gemara asks, wait a second, if it's a tenth of a tenth, what is a tenth of a tenth? If you take off a tenth and then another tenth, what percentage is gone? No.
One hundred.
You take off a tenth, you have 100 bushels. You take off a tenth, and then you take off another tenth. How much is left?
Just one.
No. What are you talking about?
One is left.
Yeah, no.
You take away 10, you got 90.
Yeah.
You take away another 10, you got 80.
Oh, okay, talking about what's left.
81. Ah, Sam didn't fall for it. Sam figured it out. That, right, that if you take off a tenth and you take off another tenth, you're left.
Is
it 90? And then you take off another tenth, so it sounds like you should get to a fifth. The Gemara asks, wait a second, but Sam pointed out that the second tenth you take off is not going to be 10 bushels, it's going to be 9 bushels, which is a tenth of 90, so it's only 19. So therefore it says, no, asrenu, with the extra, it's elongated, I shall tithe it, teaches you that, no, it's going to be like the first tithe. That it's going to, oh, both of them are going to be taking off 10, which gets you to a fifth. Alright, anyways, that's the Gemara, comes out with this idea that you're not allowed to, sounds like, give away or take off more than a fifth. So, it says aser asrenu lach. It's a double language. So that's what it's trying to learn out from that, from that double language. So the issue, the first issue we'd like to deal with is that this is in general, the Gemara itself seems to have a problem. Because the Gemara starts off by saying, this was a takana that was made in Usha. What does it usually mean when it's a takana made in Usha? What is a takana? A local, well not really, more than a practice, a local rule. That the Rabbanan made a rule that this is the idea. For the advanced students among us, anybody know the difference between a takana and a gezeira?
Gezeira is longer, over a longer period?
Nope.
Or am I reversing myself?
Nope, nothing to do with that.
Gezeira is a fence.
Right, a gezeira is a fence around the Torah, and a takana is what they're doing here.
You're not drawing a fence around the Torah. I mean, it's a different thing.
Ah, very good. As Rabbi Rakefet put it once, I heard it, he made this point, I think he said it the best. A gezeira makes you more frum, a takana makes you less frum. That the gezeira is making you more frum, it's putting a fence around the Torah. So, you know, class, this is really a great example, but not only are you not going to eat chametz on Pesach, you're not going to have it in your house at all on Pesach. Right, so technically it's not really a gezeira, but it's in the Torah as well. But that's the idea. So that's a gezeira, making you more frum. Takana makes you less frum. Right, we want you to give a lot of tzedakah, and this takana comes along and says you have to give less tzedakah. Right. Other examples of takanos are totally escaping my head right now. That's a chirim, the Rabbeinu Gershom. But one can make a similar case that we're restricting your possibilities for marriage, right? But we don't call that a takana, so I don't really want to use that example. And it's unclear whether that's a good idea or a bad idea to marry more than one wife. I'm not going in there today. Another example of a takana. I'm totally drawing a blank right now. But that's the idea. That's the distinction. So anyways, there is a takana and usha. You're not allowed to do it. So on the first couple lines of the Gemara, say as follows, right? A takana was made not to give more than a fifth. The implication of that is that without the takana, you're allowed to give more than a fifth. Right? Mm-hmm. So what's the next step of the Gemara? Oh, what's the proof from a pasuk? And it brings a proof from a verse. Well, if it proves it from a pasuk, what does that tell you? It tells you that it was already existent, right? Mm-hmm. This verse in Bereishis existed well before the Rabbanim in Usha decided we're not going to give more than a fifth. So what are you doing from the pasuk if it's a takana? And if it's learned out from a verse, what do you need a takana for? And if it's a takana, then why are you doing trying to find a verse to be the source for it, right? That's the kasha. So, I'll give four quick answers to that question. Number one is the Maram Shif. The Maram Shif says, Maram Shif is one of the commentators in the back of the Gemara, that, no, the Pasuk is not telling you not to spend more than a fifth. The Pasuk is telling you to spend at least a fifth. And the Takana was not to go beyond the fifth. Right, that it's not a pasuk. It's Yaakov saying that ideally you should give a fifth. So that's where they got the number from. But to go beyond that, you don't have a textual proof for that, and that's where the takana was made. The takana was made in not going past a fifth. It's similar to a taz that's found in the taz is one of the commentators on Shulchan Aruch. So the taz in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah asks the following question: why is it we have a gezeira? We have a gezeira not to play instruments on Shabbos. Because you're not allowed, because we're afraid you go and fix the instruments, right? So, all right, that's halacha A. Halacha B, we have a gezeira not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, right? Because you may carry it in Rishus Harabim. You may carry it outside in Kfar Horamos. So asks the Taz, why are you only not doing blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos because of the problem possibly you might carry? You should also not blow shofar any day, any time, any yantiv because of the possibility you may fix the instruments. Right? So why we should just make a gezeira? And the same power the rabbis have to say we're not going to blow shofar on Shabbos because of our fears, and it's a what we call a gezeira on a shevi al tase, that yish koch biyachacham lakar dav min haTorah b'shevi al tase. The rabbis have the power to uproot laws from the Torah by telling us to sit down and not do anything. So the same thing here, they should tell us to sit down and not do anything and not blow shofar because of the fear that we may go ahead and fix instruments.
I don't know specifics. Maybe a shofar is more a solid instrument that doesn't normally you adjust.
So according to you, this Shabbos you should be able to blow a shofar in your house for as part of your meal, as part of your zmiros. Yom zeh mechu ba'mi kol yom im kivo Shabbos sura lamin. You should take out a shofar and go toot toot for real, right? It should be mutter all the time. Then so the answer is no. It's across the board. You're not allowed to play instruments. The Taz's answer is because the Rabbanim don't have the power to uproot something from the Torah that is explicitly there. Wow. The Torah explicitly says you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Rakham can't come along and say, oh, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's too dangerous. Right? Maybe I should say, well, you shouldn't eat matzah on Pesach because matzah actually is chametz that hasn't become chametz yet. Right? The only wheat you're going to eat on matzah on Pesach is in your matzah. But, you know, making matzah is very risky because you're actually mixing wheat and water. So maybe the rabbanim should come along and make gezeira. You know, we've been thinking about it. It's very dangerous making matzah. No more matzah on Pesach. Right? You'll eat fish. Whatever. Right? No matzah allowed. So why wouldn't they make a gezeira? Because it's befurash b'kroi. It's in the pasuk to eat matzah. So you can't make such a gezeira to say something. So too here. That perhaps is how one understands this. That a fifth. Where do you get a fifth from? Well, we have it explicit in the verse that Yaakov said, I'm going to spend a fifth.
He says tithe.
Well, I'm going to tithe, right? I'm going to give away a fifth.
Tithe is a fifth?
Well, who is he giving it away to? Yeah, probably talking about giving.
Tithe was 10%.
Well, it's 10%, but it's double. Aser asrenu, it's a double language. So that gets you to a fifth. That's what the Torah Shabbal Peh deduces from that. So you can't go below a fifth. You can't go say, right? So that's the minimum. So therefore, beyond that, we're going to put a takana and say, you're not going to spend more than that. That's answer number one. Of the Maram Shif. Answer number two. That's actually answer one and two. Answer number three is the
Taz first, and then
the Taz and the Maram Shif. I number it as two different things. Yeah.
Okay.
The Gra actually says that is a din d'oraisa. I saw this quote in the Torah Tamima, and he quotes from a Yerushalmi in Maseches Peah that it's actually a din d'oraisa based on this pasuk. That's the din. And then what did they establish in... Then you have the question. Well, then what did you... they're not actually a din d'oraisa. It's a halacha Moshe Misinai. So what was then deduced in Usha? They recalled the halacha Moshe Misinai. But it actually is a real din, not to spend more than a fifth. Which would follow with the Vilna Gaon telling this rich guy that you did wrong by giving away more than a fifth. You violated the din, and therefore you're poor now. So the Gra says, what do you want from me? That's the pasuk. So the way you read the Gemara is, they made the takana, and then recalled that it's actually already established for many years as halacha Moshe Misinai, a law that goes all the way back to Moshe. However, the minchas, the right to that, the Torah Tamima asks. He says, "What are you talking about? My kra is used traditionally in the Yerushalmi as well as the Bavli as what is a asmachta? What is a hint to that in the Torah? Not that it is a din in the Torah, but it is a hint." And his proof is that for there in Masechta Shabbos, there's 18 gezeros that were made, and the Gemara there asks, even though they're all for sure dini derabanan, the Gemara asks, "My kra, what is the scriptural basis for it?" Right? So he doesn't, the Torah Tamima doesn't understand the gra, who I believe he's a descendant of. And then finally, the Minchas Asher just simply says that that there is a Gemara in Maseches Arachin that one is not permitted to be makdish all of his things. So we knew that already, but rather you have to divide it up. The Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss. Let me just see this again. One second. Here he explains. Yeah, that is obvious from the level of, on a Doraisa level. It's actually explicit in a Gemara in Maseches Arachin that one is not permitted to be makdish all of their things because a person has to divide up their things. So a person has to if you spend all your money on stock, you're not going to have any money to do anything else to take care of your personal needs and to take care of your other mitzvah needs. So the idea, so once we understand that you can't spend all of your things, all of your money on one mitzvah, so you have to figure out how to divide it up. So there is a concept called nimsar hadavar lechachamim, that things were given over to the chachamim to figure out how to divide things up. So how do we divide things up? So the gezeira was made in Usha that staka should not be more than a fifth. How did they know that? Well, it's based on this. The hint was this pasuk from Yaakov, that Yaakov spent a fifth on staka, and therefore we're going to send a fifth on staka, and other money is going to be sent to other things. So that's idea number one. Right? Idea number one is how do you work out the pasuk versus the takana? So we gave several answers to that. Right?
Actually, you're interpreting the pasuk to be a fifth. Right? Whereas all the translations say a tenth.
Well, not me. The Gemara is making that interpretation. So that's
what you think. That's
right, because the Gemara is not making a translation. The Gemara is deducing. Right, the translation is not explaining why the verse gives it a double language.
Some Chumash it says repeatedly.
Okay, that's not really what the words mean, though.
Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe one of the interpretations would incorporate the Gemara.
You mean one of the interpretations there?
Yeah, you would think that.
Well, it's an interpretation, not a translation. You're looking at a translation.
Maybe he says it twice because he's saying, I'm going to give a tenth, but not more than a fifth.
That is what he's saying. Okay. That's how you're using that pasuk. I'm not going to spend more than a fifth, right?
Right. But he said, I'm going to give a tenth, but not more
than a fifth. Yeah, okay. That's what you're learning out from Yaakov.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Right. Not a fifth.
Right, so that would be how the Minchas Asher would learn it. That would be how the Torah Tamima would learn it. The Maram Shif and the Gra would learn it. That would be how the Gra would learn it for sure. I'm not going to spend more than a fifth. While the Maram Shif would say, no. That he said, I'm going to spend the fifth, and we're going to cap it at that amount. That's the way we think. Okay, so that's issue number one. So issue number two, I just want to raise, a quick point that is made is that not giving. Not only is there a mitzvah asay to give tzedakah. There's also a prohibition in not giving tzedakah. There's a prohibition if somebody comes to you and says, "I would like I need money, and you're not. There's a prohibition in actually turning them away. So we have an idea that one is not permitted to spend more than a fifth in order to do a positive mitzvah. We'll maybe get to the idea that the Ramah comments, however, to avoid a prohibition, you can spend whatever you need to, you need to spend whatever you need to in order to avoid a prohibition. So how could we put a cap on how much you're going to spend? Isn't that going to lead to people violating prohibitions? So there's two answers that are given, right? You hear the question?
No. Yeah.
Well, this idea of not spending more than a fifth has to only do with positive mitzvahs. To avoid a negative prohibition, you have to spend whatever you need to, right? You give up your job in order to not work on Shabbos, right? So the to give tzedakah is a positive mitzvah, and to not give tzedakah is a prohibition. There's a prohibition of, if somebody comes to you and asks you for money, to not give him money. So
I have a lot of cap space under there to get over the negative prohibition. I can give them anything.
Right, you could, but let's say you're at a fifth already. Actually, in the Milchos Asher, he quotes, I think, seven answers. But they really fall into two categories. Answer number one would be from Tshuva, would be from the Tshuva Me'ava, Rav Eliezer Fleckles, Fleckles, or Feckles, I'm not sure how to spell it, but how to pronounce it. But his answer is that this idea of not separating, it's al yivazvez yosher michomesh. You're not allowed to separate more than a fifth. When a person goes to their accounting and separates their money as to, this is how I'm going to divide up your money, you shouldn't divide up more than a fifth. But if a person actually knocks at your door and he says, hi, you need money, and says, oh, sorry, I already gave away my fifth, my allotment is full, so that's not included. That you would actually go ahead and give him additional money. So that's one category of answers. The other category of answers is that whenever you have an ase and a los ase, you have a positive and a negative commandment, so how are they working in tandem? Right? Is it really that it's a negative commandment, or is it really a negative commandment that's subservient to the positive commandment? So perhaps one can explain that, yes, there is a negative commandment of not closing the door, but it's all under the rubric of the positive commandment of giving tzedakah. And technically, yes, if somebody had already given away their fifth, and now somebody knocks on the door, one would say, sorry, I'm out. I'm not already filled my allotment. You can go next door. He hasn't fulfilled his allotment yet, or you can do that. So that takes care of that question. There is a story that I saw told over that the Briskerov, the Grizz, was once sent money from Chutz La'aretz, and he wasn't sure whether it was money that was to be given to him or whether it was money that he was supposed to distribute to tzedakah.
Oh, wow.
Right? A common problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't sure. I would suggest that he could probably use the money even if it was given as tzedakah. These people are not exactly people of abundant wealth, but somebody asked him, I don't understand, what's the big, and he was doing all these, he's working very hard to figure out what were the intentions of the sender. So somebody asked him, why are you working so hard? Just give the money away to tzedakah, what's the big deal? So he said, no, because I already gave away my fifth for the year, and if I now give this also away, I'm going to be violating the takana and go over a fifth. So that is interesting.
No problem.
If it's not his, he'd give it away. Right, right. If it was his, then a fifth of it he could give away. Right?
Yes.
So, but that assumption, right, there's an assumption in that story, and that is that it is absolutely prohibited to give more than a fifth. So is it really absolutely prohibited to give more than a fifth? The truth, it sounds like from the Gemara, that was the Takana Nusha. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva stopped the other person, Dr. Rav Yeshevov, from giving more than that. But it's not so clear that it actually is a prohibition. The Rambam, although he quotes this idea of not giving more than a fifth, he doesn't quote in Hilchos Tzedakah, I believe. He quotes it in Hilchos Chayrim, in Hilchos Nedarim, in Hilchos, in someplace else, and not having to do with the actual act of giving charity. And the Rambam, in fact, in his Perish HaMishnayis, in his commentary on Mishnayis, in the very first Mishnah, Maseches Peah. So, anybody here know the first Mishnah of Maseches Peah?
Well,
you would be surprised. A lot of people here might. Elu dvarim she'ein lahem sheyur, hapiyah v'hapikurim v'harayon v'gmilus chasadim v'tamut Torah. Right? That these are the, it's part of Birchas Torah that we say in the morning, that these are the things that have no measurement, and including in the things that have no measurement is gemilus chasadim, is kindness to other people. What's included in gemilus chasadim, kindness to other people? The giving of tzedakah. So the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah says that yes, it's true that there's a takana that you don't have to spend more than a fifth of your money on tzedakah, but if somebody wants to, as a midas chasidus, as a righteous act, one is permitted to do so. So that's a pretty positive, powerful source saying that, to say that you are allowed to give a little bit more than a fifth. So Rav Moshe, so how does one resolve this? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has a tshuva about dividing up the Meiser money, giving a tenth, giving a fifth, etc. And in the last paragraph of this, and what you're allowed to include in that tenth or fifth, there's a lot of interesting a discussion about that. Can paying your kid's school tuition qualify as part of the 10%?
Right.
Can paying your shul membership dues count as part of 10%? Right. Can giving your son's Rebbe an extra gift for Hanukkah or Purim, can that count for part of the 10%? Right? Can buying you Luv and Esther count, right? These are all interesting questions that are asked. Can buying you Luv and Esther from somebody who's poor count as part of that 10% or not? Right? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on this, where he points out that if one looks in Hilchos Tzedakah in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Mechaber quotes this, he says you don't have to spend more than a fifth, but he doesn't quote exactly this way, he says up to a fifth. And the Ramah says, "Va'al yivaz es yoser mikomish," and you're not allowed to spend more than a fifth, which sounds like he's arguing on the Mechaber. In which case, he claims that the Mechaber maybe is following the Rambam that you really are allowed to spend more, and the Ramah, possibly for Ashkenazim, for us, is actually putting a cap on the fifth. So that's the way he spells it out. So the truth is, it probably is one should not spend more than a fifth. However, there are several important exceptions to this rule. Exception number one to this rule of not spending more than a fifth is that the Gemara clearly has stories about people giving away much more of that when they were on their deathbed. So to set aside more than a fifth of one's estate, I'm not saying this is necessarily a good idea or not, but one would be permitted to give more than a fifth of their estate to charity. I believe many poskim recommend that one give a tenth of their estate to charity. That when one writes their will, a tenth of the money should be set aside to be given to charity. There is, I believe, in Chicago, I think they made a big campaign out of this. That a tenth of the money should be, I think it was called the 10% plan, that a tenth of everybody's, every Jewish person in Chicago was asked to sign that 10% of their estate will be given to Jewish education in the city of Chicago as a way of solving the tuition crisis. Other cities adopted this. I think in Los Angeles they also did this, maybe not as widespread, but this idea is out there. It doesn't necessarily solve the tuition crisis in the near term, because you know, it takes a while for this money to kick in, but at least as a long-term issue, that's put out there, and there are some communities that are actively doing such things. That's one thing. Another thing is suggested that to support Torah, one may be permitted to give more than a fifth of their money away. So, for instance, I saw this in the context of somebody asking that I support my kids in kollel. So that's tzedakah. And I'm giving more than a fifth just to them. So does that mean I shouldn't give any more tzedakah to anybody? Right? So I said, no, that the money you give to anybody else for anything?
Yeah.
So no. And then the third thing is that the Chafetz Chaim, besides writing the Mishneh Berurah and writing Shmir Salashim and writing Sefer Chafetz Chaim, also wrote a Sefer called Avos Chesed. Avos Chesed are the laws of Chesed. So in his laws of Chesed, under the laws of Tzedakah, so he, right off in his section on not spending more than a fifth, right off the bat he says, this doesn't apply to the exceedingly wealthy. That all, everybody knows that if somebody is extremely wealthy, it doesn't apply to them. And he brings a proof from a Tosfos in Bava Kama that seems to say that by quoting quoting a story in Maseches Sukkah that I think Rabbi Gamliel spent an extraordinary amount of money on his Esther guy. Isn't that more than a fifth? Well, he's extraordinarily wealthy. So it's So, in a way, it's not more than a fifth. But Tosfos was interpreting that as being, no, because he, or maybe the Chafetz Chaim was interpreting it was, no, he's allowed to spend more than a fifth because then, because he was an extraordinarily wealthy person. My Rebbe, Rav Schachter, whenever he talks about Hilchos Tzedakah, throws this out, and I don't think he's saying it in an arrogant way, he's saying it at least certainly to encourage people. He says, I personally give more than a fifth. He says, and I don't get to, and I don't earn more than $100,000 a year from yeshiva. I remember him saying with all his speaking engagements, all of that.
Who is this?
My Rebbe, Rav Schachter. Whenever he speaks about tzedakah, he throws in this. He says, I consider myself very wealthy. He lives in an apartment in Washington Heights and has one car. I consider myself extraordinarily wealthy, and I give more than a fifth of my money away because I don't think I'm covered by this restriction. So what one considers to be extraordinarily wealthy or not extraordinarily wealthy is perhaps subjective, but I think it is important to keep those words of Schachter in mind and put things in perspective a little bit as to, you know, really the enormous wealth that everybody has, you know, Bizman Hazeh, and therefore the requirements that therefore come from that in terms of giving away to tzedakah. There's one more issue that I was going to discuss, but we're really out of time, and that is, does this apply to other mitzvahs as well? The idea of not spending more than a fifth is an interesting idea from Hilchos Estrog about that. But I guess we'll save that for another time. Okay? Any questions, comments, observations as we finish up?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well.